Tell you, when the wind's blowing, I don't want to cut out the fan.
Amen.
I'm honest, you, Breedy. Hurry up and get to the piano over there. Sing something for us. I want God to have His way this morning.
Amen.
I don't want to get in the way of anything. I've done that too many times. We didn't come here today to worship man. We came to worship God.
Amen.
I think these days of meetings have reminded us how precious that God is to us because He's been so good to our families. God has been so good to us. Honey, while you sing this morning, the altar's open. Please avail yourself of it. Do what you need to do today. Make this service this morning as if there'd be not another service again. What would you do? I say this morning, let's do it.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to sing a cappella. I just want to thank the Lord. I should have testified earlier, but I didn't. I want to thank the Lord when He preached about the prodigal son. I relived that whole story. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, one more time. Thank you. Thank you one more time. Thank you. I can't thank Him enough. I can't, preacher. I relived it. It was just like the story. Just like the story. And I'd prayed, David, we had prayed. Let Him come home. Let Him get out of that truck. He was in a truck, I think, and walk down that sidewalk. I'm just trembling. And God answered my prayer when I let go. I was telling a sister this morning, you got to let go. You got to take your hands off of that troubled prodigal son. You got to let go. You got to let God. And I had finally, God had helped my stubbornness to let go. And when we let go, He come home. And He said, I've lost my wife, mom and daddy. I'm going to lose this baby or I'm going to be dead if I don't get right with God.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, I just walked up here to this pulpit to in front of everybody say, thank you, God, one more time. Yeah. He would have been dead. He would have been in prison if He hadn't allowed God to show up in His heart and His life. I just want to say thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I've just learned this song. I just don't feel compelled to go to the piano. I pray it'll be a blessing if the Lord will just help me. Coming clean, all the secrets He has kept from her so long, finally known. Her big mistake, that one regret that haunts her to this day, it just won't fade. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see. glad He loves me.
I've got to mind the Lord, every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, I'm trying my best to mind God. You might be here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I wouldn't wait till the invitation. I'd let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved right now. I wonder, even this morning, as we've been preaching on the family and preaching on individual issues in the family, maybe if there are those this morning just need to make a trip around an old-fashioned altar today and say, God, strengthen my marriage. God, strengthen me as a parent. Come on right now if you need to come. Folks are coming. Yeah. Altar's open this morning. Got a wayward son, got a wayward daughter, got a wayward grandchild. Facing issues in our marriage, facing issues on the job with people, just facing things in this life that I just can't bear it anymore. Seeing senior citizens coming around the altar this morning just reminds me what they face too as the aging process comes upon us, and I'm there myself. And you look at your children, and you look at your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, and it just lays a heavy burden it does upon me. I see three rows of young people here at the front. Maybe it's a good time to get around this altar this morning and talk to the Lord about your future. The things that maybe has been going across in your mind about your future. Just once again, afresh and anew, just getting around an altar this morning, wanting to pray. Oh, God, don't let me miss your will. Don't let me go in my own direction. That's right. That's right. Others this morning. This is an open invitation for anybody and everybody. I went to a hospital room to visit a man one time, and he said, I'll get saved tomorrow, and I left out of that room, and he died moments after that. You better not put anything off today. I sure don't want to. I'm in no hurry this morning, I promise you that. I just want God to be honored today. I'm not in a preaching contest with anybody. I'd lose anyway. Like what's put on this pulpit right here, I just want to please Him. Maybe you're sitting there at the pew this morning, and maybe you're not able, or you feel comfortable there at the seat this morning. That's fine. But I wonder, with an upraised hand, preacher, I got needs today that I'd like for people to help me pray about. Would you just slip that hand up? Lord, have mercy. I wish you could see. Dear Lord, this is your church. I desire to be your man. Lord, it's all about you and it's not about us. Lord, there could be young people around this altar this morning that's praying about their future. Lord, they could be praying about that special someone in their life. Lord, they could be praying for their parents, grandparents. They could be praying about their education. They could be praying about the will of God. Lord, there could be anyone around the altar this morning is praying over weaknesses and hurts and disappointments. For the family has so much to bless us with, and sometimes it has so much to hurt us with. There could be someone here this morning that's maybe gone through a divorce, and that happens. Been mistreated as a spouse, or has mistreated. And Lord, today'd be a good day just to ask for forgiveness and lay it at the foot of the cross. Please, Lord. My heart this morning desires that no one leave the property after this service without their needs being met. And that comes through your Spirit and your songs and your word. Father, we love you today. In Jesus' name. All right, everyone, look this way, if you will, please. Excuse me. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. We'll take a few moments this morning to continue about preaching about the family. I certainly am enjoying myself here. I appreciate all that we've already learned in chapter number 5. About the proper order of the family, the passionate offerings of the family. But now as we get to chapter number 6 for a few moments, we're going to begin to talk about the future of the family. There's the foundation, the facts, and now the future. It seems like just the other day, that I was 17 years old, like I see these teenagers on the first and second rows right here. I had a whole lot of hair back then. I was 17 when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I still remember that. You never forget when you get saved. And if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, then please don't leave the property without being saved today. Seems like just the other day that I was walking out of the garage at Forsyth Tech. I've told this before. Walking up to go to the canteen. And sitting on the ground to my left, there was a group of young ladies. And one of them I went to West Forsyth Senior High School with. And I asked her about that other young lady sitting there. Oh, Debbie said, you don't want to meet her. She always says the blessing before we want to eat. And she's always got her Bible with her. And she's always witnessing. And to make the long story short, she's sitting there on fourth pew and been my wife now for 40 years. I still remember that. I remember our wedding. When God began to give us children. Sons. And I've told before how the third one was a literal miracle. And how they picked at him and they said, well, we were wanted. And he looks back at him and said, yeah, but I was needed. God has been good to us. Through the good times, the bad times. The good times, the bad times that help us grow. But here this morning, this basically goes toward parenthood. Parenthood is not easy. If there's a parent in here this morning that's got all the answers, I got 6 million questions for you. But look what the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That word obey only has four letters to it, but it means to listen attentively. Young people, when your parents are talking to you, cut your phone off. Right. Cut the TV off. Right. Cut everything else off. And sit down and listen to some words of wisdom. Right. Been there, done that, keep the T-shirt. Children, you'll do yourselves well. If you have a desire to be obedient to the Lord in your life, then part of that is being obedient to your parents. There'll come a day where you'll wish you could talk to them again. And Paul says that for this is right. As we do this in the Lord, this word, even this little word in, is referring to a preposition of one's position. I am positioned today in the Lord. Amen. And so we need to obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is holy in God's sight. This is innocent in God's sight. This is equitable in God's sight. We cannot be right with God and not willing to be listening to the authority that is placed before us. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The word honor is referring to giving highest value, highest reverence, to elevate with highest position. Our parents did not come from the dark ages. They've been there and done that. And in my case, I don't want my kids or grandkids to make the same mistakes that I did and commit the same sins. This even is going farther for Maymay and Papaw in regards to several of our grandchildren. Especially Adeline that's been here before that lives close to us, and she comes and spends the night with us, and we do things together. She's into her thing, that these little girly things, and her and Maymay's into that, and Papaw forces out the money for it. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Boy, that's the biggest amen I've got the whole meeting right here. But it's precious to have a little devotion time. And Adeline began to ask us questions. Because even though she's homeschooled and involved in things and of that nature and other things too, she is curious about things. And I just want to say this to the parents this morning. God help us. And grandparents, I feel like I got such a burden for this. Don't ever get too busy that you don't take time for your kids. Get involved in their activities that doesn't interfere with church. And don't let them get involved in activities that do interfere with church. Got four amens out of that right there. There went about a half of my love off and right there. You can have it. Let's preach truth.
Amen.
Honor thy father. Give them the greatest value again. Revere them. Elevate them to a highest position. For this is the first commandment. It is a precept of God. It is the prescription of God. It is the promise of God and an announcement of divine assurance. God says He promises us that things will be well and long life on this earth if we'll obey our parents. That it may be well with thee. Now mayest live long on the earth. Now this thing is not to become one-sided, because now, and ye fathers, okay men, sit up. It's not easy to be a father. In fact, I've told this before, the day I become a father, February 25th, 1979, I went to my home place and hugged my mama. And asked her to forgive me for every tear I'd ever put in her eye. You don't understand the responsibility of it all until you become one. Provoke not your children to wrath. Don't engage. Don't instigate anger or wrath. Temper issues. I've had them. Raised with a father that had no control over his demeanor. He himself being raised in a drunkard's home. Being slapped and hit. My daddy told me one time that it was so bad that him and his brothers and sisters, when their daddy came in drunk, they'd have to hide underneath the bed and lock the door of the bedroom. And if you're not careful, that can be passed down. Come on, I'm trying to help us now. And then that can be passed down to another. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to not provoke to wrath, negative emotion, negative answer. But Paul says here in chapter 6, verse 4, but bring them up. I haven't changed Bibles, but one commentary says that this phraseology, to bring them up, means to reach down and pick them up. So that tells me, parents, it takes every effort that we have, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, most of all spiritually, to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We cannot do too much spiritually to raise our kids in the things of God. So have them here on Wednesday night. Have them here in the youth meetings. Make them available to go to youth camps that are sound youth camps. I got saved at youth camp. Brittany, you and I saw God do mighty works of grace with our sons at youth camps. I still remember some of those times at youth camps at Turner's Creek, and they're still great camps. Don't get me wrong. Great church, great man of God there, Brother Scott Welch. But I remember a time or two where services would start in the afternoon and would not end till 10 or 11 o'clock that night. That's making your child available to a place where they can be brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It just seems like we're in a society now where there's just so much out there to offer. I bet Brother Hildebrand could testify today, as he works in the prisons, as I volunteer in the prisons myself, that many of those inmates, in their sincerity, not all of them are sincere, but in their sincerity, they'll tell you that they were raised in a broken home, and many of them not even know who their daddies are. But we need to bring them up. Chapter 6 and verse number 4. Bring them up in the nurture, the education, the correction, the discipline. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to bring them to God's attention. We need to put ourselves in the place where they can be placed in God's presence. Now Paul here, of course, begins to deal with servanthood in verse number 5. But I do want to deal with verse 6, that whatever we do, we don't want to do it just with eye service. Now I'm going to probably make somebody mad right now. This phraseology of eye service is openly people watching and judging us. I'm going to get down here now to where it meets the road. A lot of parents compromise in how they raise their kids because they are afraid of what others will think. I'm thinking of a situation right now of a man that is a president of the Industries for the Blind, and they're very, very well off. And may knows who I'm referring to. And it just seems like that their greatest accolade is all of the finer things of this life. And anything that comes up that takes the place of them being faithful to church or things of that nature, it'll stand in the way of being faithful to God. Why do they do all of that? It's a thing called eye service. It's talking about being more caring about what everybody else thinks instead of what God thinks. It would be good today that we didn't get caught up with what society thinks about marriage. Because society will tell you, well, if it don't work out, just go get you another, like trading cars. Can't find you a good woman if you're a man, just go find you a man. And that's a thing, too, that's beginning more and more to affect our families. And I'm not picking on my wife, but it's even infested her family. I have a cousin that it's affected his family. And they just kind of sit back like, oh, well, it's just a sign of the times. You know, it's like we're going with change. Now, I'm going to answer something. Can a sodomite be saved? Absolutely. Can they trust Christ as their Savior? Absolutely. But if they get saved, they won't have a desire to be a sodomite anymore. And I'm using biblical terms. We come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. But we go into the world and we preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, we don't condone, we don't condemn, we just converse. And we tell people what's right.
Exactly.
And by the way, sir and ma'am, if you and I try by the grace of God to raise our family in the things of God, we will not be popular.
Right.
Even with those of our own flesh and blood.
Right.
I might have already said that. Some of you wouldn't listen probably. No, I'm not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the service, the doulos, servants of God, a willing, voluntary, qualified slave, doing, performing anything necessary with what? The heart. And I know this is centered around family, so let's check our heart this morning. Let's examine our hearts this morning. And let's examine how dedicated are we to the Lord. How dedicated are we to our family? How truthful are we one with another in marriage? Short time ago, there was something that happened that the devil was trying to mess me up with. And by the way, you don't have to go find sin. It'll find you. I'm just going to say this. You better be careful what you listen to on the radio. And you better be careful what you watch on TV. And when Satan was playing his tricks with me, I I went to my prayer warrior. By the way, if you got to hide it, it ain't right.
Yes, sir.
And I went to my prayer warrior. And I asked her to pray for me. And by the way, a good way to put this is if you're in a place and the devil brings temptation into that place, into that circumstance, and the devil's trying to mess you up, you better get as far away from it as you can. Because none of us, without the grace of God, can overcome temptation. And why does Paul teach us to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord, watch it now, and touch not the unclean thing? Because he tells us if you're around it, you're liable to touch it and become unclean.
Right.
See, this isn't popular preaching. Young girls and young boys have lost their purity because they was at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. Nathan David Maynard got involved in drug addiction because of being with the wrong people at the wrong time. It can even happen on your job. I was working a job 17 years old at a gas station in Louisville. Some of you know where Louisville is. That was back in the day when you pumped gas, washed windshields, checked under the hood. They don't do that anymore. But working with some guys that was tempting me with dirty magazines. Won't nobody find out if you drink a little beer? Yeah. 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 And my life was wayward. My heart was cold, preacher. I know I've told this. Used to be a little lady pulled into the gas station. I didn't walk up here this morning planning on saying all this, preacher. And my wife knows this. And it's under the blood. Lady pulled in one day in a little Dodge Dart, 1966 Dodge Dart. Some of you don't even know 1966. And this lady had a walk with God. And the other guys in that gas station wouldn't go out there and wait on her because she would get out of the car and walk around and witness to you while you was putting gas and checking under the hood and wiping her windshield off. So they'd all go run hide somewhere. So here, David have to go out there. I'll never forget. And I know I've told this here before, but probably there's new faces. Please understand it. And preacher, if I'm repeating myself, forgive me. She got out of the car one day and she said, David, I know you're hurting because your daddy has died. But you can't blame God. And I know you're angry. And if you're not doing some if you're doing some things that are not right, God can get your attention. Did God get my attention? Pulled a car into the bay one day to change a top radiator hose because the radiator hose had gotten weak in one area. I done everything right, men. Ladies, just ask your husband at home, okay? I got the car cooled down. I tried to cool down the radiator. I could put my hand on the top radiator hose. I thought everything was good. But when I reached down and let the cap off, that hose busted and hot antifreeze saturated me from here down. I will not show you, but you can ask my wife. Because of that accident, there is no oil in my skin from here down, and the webs are still there. Am I right, hon? All because I wanted to go in life my way instead of God's way. You see, we cannot do our service with eye service. We've got to live for the Lord in fear. Chapter 6, verse 5, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. My question is this morning, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, grandparents, grandchildren, children, are our hearts sincere before the Lord? If it is, it's not only just going to be Sunday services and hopefully night services, Wednesday and Sunday night. It's going to be 24/7, 7 days a week. God forbid that any of our kids would leave home and say this, "My parents were hypocrites." Oh, my parents. Yeah, they'd go to church, but boy, howdy. Sure was a lot different in God's house than our house. And I hear that so much. Not with eye service. You know, putting on that little cornfield strut, man. No. Not with eye service. As men pleasers, but as the servants of the Lord, a willing, voluntary, qualified slave. Lord, it's not that I want to do right because I have to. I want to do right because I want to. Doing, performing that necessary act to perceive and achieve a purpose from where? Your head? No. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Doing what we do in our homes because it pleases God. Because it pleases God. That temptation that happened at the house the other night. What if I'd have given in to that? And feel ashamed just to see what happened. You better be careful. And by the way, if you're sitting here this morning, as I've sit there and have stood and felt conviction and felt filthy and felt that it needed to be made right with God, let's make it right with God this morning. Let's be honest with ourselves. I'm not only preaching this morning to warn us, to keep us from it, but to also help us to be honest with ourselves as we do fall. Come on now. That we be honest with ourselves to the point of coming around an altar and making it right with God and letting God cleanse us and then asking God to strengthen us that it would never happen again. Because I believe if I've ever made a truthful statement, there's no sin that just hurts yourself. It hurts the ones you love the most. I don't know the times, Brother Hildebrand, I go to that cell door. And that inmate will come up with his chair and sit and we'll talk and he'll start showing me pictures of his family. And you begin to see tears in their eyes. And they look at me and they say, "Preacher man, I can't believe it. I'd be so stupid to hurt these people that I supposedly love so much." In other words, if I tell Sister Maynard that I love her, I not only show her I love her in our own personal way, but I also show her that I love her in every way. That's privately and publicly. That's showing her that I love her when we're together, and that's showing her that I love her when we're apart. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Oh, my.